It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm Bill Price. Hello, winter.
Cold day today. Winter caliber cold.
That is our top story this Friday. Everyone's cold. A lot of places are white. As we kick off our weekend, meteorologist Kevin Williams says this is just the start, too.
Temperatures will moderate a bit this weekend ahead of even colder air that will arrive with snow early next week.
Parts of our listening area got buried in over 6 inches of snow overnight. Forecaster Craig Allen.
This is definitely more like January weather across the eastern half of the United States.
What can you expect for the upcoming weekend? Your full forecast later in the broadcast. A new face in the race. That is the other big story this Friday.
This country is in real trouble. We need somebody to pull people together.
Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg says he's seriously considering a run at the White House. The billionaire's bid could put the 2020 race into a tailspin. Bloomberg says he has serious doubts about the current field of Democratic contenders.
I have my reservations about the promises they're making that they can't fulfill.
And the Republican-turned-Democrat says he's concerned the candidates running right now won't be able to beat Donald Trump. Political analyst Leonard Steinhorn.
He was originally on the side of Joe Biden, thinking that he was going to come out strong, but he's seen the Biden campaign deflating, not only in terms of money, but in terms of energy and motivation and passion and public support. And he's very concerned about a Warren nomination, thinking that she might not be able to beat Donald Trump and that she's too far left for the Democratic Party.
After spending millions to get Democrats elected all across the country, Michael Bloomberg now thinking of launching his own presidential campaign. President Trump in Atlanta this afternoon launching a Black Voices for Trump initiative. It's all about boosting his support among African-American voters ahead of the 2020 election. Mr. Trump says his administration responsible for the lowest unemployment rate ever among Black Americans. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney defying a House subpoena, refusing to testify today in the Democratic impeachment probe. President Trump spoke about that probe earlier today.
This is a hoax. This is just like the Russian witch hunt. This is just a continuation. It's a disgraceful thing.
House Republicans pushing to subpoena the whistleblower in the Ukraine scandal. Public testimony in the probe starts next week. Today, President Trump said the inquiry should not go public. Louisiana Republican John Kennedy.
This whole process is not only dumb, but it's dangerous. This is going to be the first partisan impeachment in the history of our country. And I'm worried it's going to establish a new normal. Someday we'll have a Democratic president, and then half of the country will be pushing us to impeach. They'll say, well, you know, you did it to Trump, now do it to the new president. And I think that's dangerous.
The public hearings on impeachment start next Wednesday and Friday and will feature sworn testimony from the current and former ambassadors to the Ukraine. In Burlington, Massachusetts, a worker at a restaurant died while trying to clean the place.
A worker at Buffalo Wild Wings used a cleaning agent on the floor. The victim, along with 10 other individuals, became sick once the product was released.
Fire Chief Michael Patterson says the chemical that caused the chaos was a chlorine concentrated floor cleaner. A Secret Service report on school shootings over the past 20 years finds that in most cases, the attacker showed signs of trouble that was not taken seriously.
Dramatic sudden changes in mood, behavior, appearance, increased conflicts with peers, more depressive symptoms, social isolation. Those are all behaviors that we found in the backgrounds of these attackers.
That's school shooting expert Lena Alathery. Juul says it's going to stop sales of its top-selling e-cigarette, Mint. Here's correspondent Anna Werner.
Some of the other flavors are gone. It appears that teenagers in large portion have moved over to mint flavors. The studies are starting to reflect that. Now Juul has said we're not going to sell mint anymore.
That's Anna Werner reporting. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the deadliest wildfire in California state history. The campfire completely incinerated the town of Paradise, killing 85 people.
That feeling at that time was just, how are we going to recover from this? This has been so devastating. People are just rocked to their core.
California Assemblyman James Gallagher says the town's no-quit attitude will make sure paradise, quite literally, rises from the ashes.
It's that great spirit that is going to ensure that paradise comes back.
Gallagher says 500 building permits have been issued for the rebuilding effort in Paradise, California. Tomorrow marks three decades since the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Cold War's physical embodiment of the Iron Curtain dividing East and West Berlin came crashing down 30 years ago tomorrow. Still to come this Friday, ski resorts getting ready, cops on the court in Scranton, and Wegmans number one again.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're looking at a chilly start to the weekend, but with little in the way of precipitation and the expectation of a little moderation in temperatures with time. I'll be back with the complete forecast in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Friday, November 8th, all that snow making for a slow go across much of our listening area. Earlier today, a lot of fender benders out there. Family Life's Jeremy Miller says state transportation officials in New York ready for whatever Old Man Winter delivers this season.
Yeah, we still may be more than a month and a half or so away from the official start of winter, but snowplow drivers are shifting gears to stay alert for whatever the season has in store for them. Every state DOT driver has to go through refresher training, which is especially important for the trucks with the tow plow attached. Now, those trucks now have cameras to monitor blind spots. They have new lights and extra mirrors. With upstate seeing the first snow of the season, it is important for drivers to remember to watch out for those plows and remember that they only operate at 35 miles per hour. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. The cold and the snow out there, a welcome sight for ski lovers at Holiday Valley in Ellicottville, New York. Jane Eshbaugh says the early blast of winter weather means the snow guns are going early.
They turn them on, they make piles of snow, and then have them wait until it's time to cover the ground to make a skiing surface.
Eshbaugh says they like to have a base of about 6 to 8 inches of snow before they open the slopes. This year's opening day at Holiday Valley, set for Black Friday.
There's a lot of excited people. Everybody's kind of looking at the window, waiting for it to come. We're still targeting our opening day as November 29th, the day after Thanksgiving. So we're excited.
The ski resorts all across our listening area started making snow today in hopes of getting a jump on the season later this month. Well, does the lack of sunlight and warmth got you feeling down? The experts say there's a cure for those winter blues.
Exercise, because exercise is good for everything, and it raises your endorphins, your feel-good hormones.
Donna Palmer with the Mental Health Association of the Southern Tier says moving will help you fight depression during those long winter months. So too will volunteering.
Not only does it make you feel good that you've given back and you've gone and helped things out, but it's always sunny at the Humane Society. It's always shiny. The animals really appreciate our presence here.
Karen Mattson at the Broome County Humane Society. Adam Griffiths is a volunteer for Meals on Wheels. He says delivering food to area shut-ins puts him in a good mood.
They look forward to having that happy face show up every once a day to drop off a meal and say hi and just talk to them. So I think it's rewarding on both ends.
The experts say seasonal affective disorder, a serious condition that starts in the fall, can last until early spring. Hundreds of law enforcement officers all across the country gathering at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center today for the memorial service for Officer Manny Ortiz, the 52-year-old Rochester police officer died last Saturday after accidentally shooting himself while driving in Penfield, New York. Ortiz leaves behind a fiance and three children. Still no clue why a man ended up in the Niagara River yesterday, dangerously close to going over the falls. A guy was plucked to safety after being in the water for over 2 hours on the American side of Niagara Falls.
As far as rescues go, this was probably, for me, this is probably the biggest one.
Major Clyde Doty with the State Parks Police says he was able to keep the man alive by talking to him.
He couldn't move. His body was so rigid, it was unbelievable. And so I'm holding his head out of the water, and I just kept telling him how strong he is. Stay with me, stay with me. It is amazing. I don't know how he was still in those temperatures, how he was still alive.
The unidentified person taken to a hospital in Niagara Falls. He's being treated for hypothermia. Former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky's resentencing on a child sexual abuse conviction being delayed yet another 2 weeks. That hearing will not happen until Friday, November 22nd at the county courthouse in Bellefonte, PA. The 75-year-old Sandusky is expected to be in the courtroom for the proceeding. Protecting nonprofits in Pennsylvania. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Governor Wolf signed a House bill into law Thursday to assist nonprofit organizations with safety and security measures. It comes after an increase of attacks against the Jewish community, notably the shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh last year. Wolf says, quote, schools and other community institutions should be a safe place for every child and resident, and that this measure will help give people peace of mind. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Monday, Veterans Day, and a Long Island-based organization is committed to improving the mental health of our war heroes. Veterans advocate Kim Vesey says post-traumatic stress disorder, a huge problem for military families today.
And then, you know, the awareness of PTSD and other issues our veterans face from what they see and do overseas is a difficult concept, I think, for many of us who haven't had that experience to understand.
VC's group, Building Homes for Heroes, helps veterans find a sense of purpose off the battlefield.
As we start to transition from a less medicated and kind of pharmaceutical response to those issues to a more holistic and community type assistance programs, I think that hopefully we'll see a decline.
The VC says community is critical when it comes to the well-being of our veterans. Cops on the court in Scranton. Police officers in the Electric City using basketball to help bridge the gap between teenagers and law enforcement. Some cops took on the kids in a friendly game of hoops last night at the Bellevue Center in Scranton, PA. Officers say the aim of the game: build rapport between the police and the people they're paid to protect. The Rochester, New York-based grocery chain Wegmans has been named the number one place to work in retail again. Family Life's Paul Price.
Yeah, the rankings were determined based on anonymous surveys from more than 694,000 workers at companies certified by Great Place to Work. That's a division of Fortune magazine. Publix and CarMax took second and third on the list this year. Wegmans recently opened its 101st store in Brooklyn. Its 102nd store will open next year in Westchester County. This is the fourth year in a row that Wegmans has ranked number one on the best place to work in retail list. Bob Price, Family Life News.
They do it right. Thank you, Bobby. The Raiders get past the Chargers. What a game. Thursday night football. Sunny time. Too many drops.
Yeah, rough game for Phillip Rivers last night. Through his third interception of the game in the final seconds, Raiders hold off the Chargers 26-24. The Raiders are 5-4. John Gruden says, yeah, we're good.
You know, we got a lot of resilient guys. They're going to keep competing. You know, you may beat us, but We're going to be hard out to get. You know, we're going to battle.
Chargers fall to 4-6. On the ice, the Lightning and Sabres will meet twice in Sweden, part of the NHL Global Series. They played today and tomorrow in Stockholm. Both teams have several Swedish players on the roster, including Buffalo's Rasmus Dahlin. The Sabres riding a 3-game losing streak. The Bolts have lost 3 of 4. To the ice, it was an overtime affair all over the league, including in Brooklyn, where the Islanders have a 3-0 lead on the Penguins. Penn score 3 unanswered in the third, then in overtime.
Picked by Russ Lepper. He scores! It's over! And the streak is over for the New York Islanders. The Penguins have come all the way back.
Ryan Rust with the game winner. The Islanders with their 10-game winning streak snapped. Overtime in Philadelphia between the Canadiens and the Flyers.
The shot. It goes in. They score!
Sean Couturier with that game winner. Overtime in Toronto. Maple Leafs against the Golden Knights.
Miners,
with that game winner. No need for overtime in Raleigh. The Rangers double up the Hurricanes 4-2, but boy, Henrik Lundqvist stopping 45 of 47 shots. He needs a break.
You know what? That's the challenge, too, when you play a back-to-back. You come in getting bed at around 3 in the morning, and
All day is about preparation and get ready for this game, and then it was pretty intense today.
Eltor, New Jersey falls to Calgary 5-3. Big time college football this weekend. Number 2 LSU at number 3 Alabama, and for just the sixth time in Big Ten history, two 8-0 teams battle each other. Nittany Lions travel to Minnesota to take on the Golden Gophers. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Great job as always. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Friday, the boys are back. Capital Connection on the way, plus America's least favorite Thanksgiving Day food.
The new Hollywood biopic Harriet offers audiences a realistic heroine and a holy and powerful God. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Sometimes it stings like a slap in the face. That's how Araminta Tubman, best known as Harriet, describes hearing the voice of God in the new Focus Features movie, Harriet. The film follows Tubman, the Underground Railroad's most famous conductor, who, after escaping to freedom herself, returned again and again in order to bring other slaves to freedom. This is the latest of the sweeping trend filling theaters with biographies of interesting and important historical figures. But unlike many of the other biopics on offer, this heroine is famous not for pop star talent or mass appeal, but because of what she did for so many others. Nor did she succeed by merely overcoming great odds or relying on her own inner strength. As the film makes quite clear, Tubman's reliance on God gave her the great strength and helped her overcome the greatest of odds. In a time when far tamer references to faith, prayer, or God can be cause for cultural cancellation, I'm so thankful that the producers of Harriet featured that part of her life story from the very beginning of the movie to the very end. But even so, the film does not picture God as some sort of weird crutch or wish-granting genie. The movie also manages to avoid to picture faith in any way that resembles the prosperity gospel. Though Tubman prays audibly to God and expects God to answer, he doesn't always do so in the way she wants or expects. After her own harrowing and unlikely escape early on in the film, Tubman believes God wants her to rescue her husband. She's horrified when she returns to the South to discover that he's now married to another woman. She comes to believe instead he sent her back for the sake of others. Later on in the film, Tubman's confused and desperate when her sister refuses to be rescued. She prays for relief, but it doesn't always come. God speaks to her, sometimes with comfort, sometimes like a slap. And we can also be thankful that Harriet's screenwriters didn't turn her into some cliched female superhero. Certainly, Tubman's achievements defy belief. She personally led 70 slaves to freedom. She served as a spy for the Union Army. She led an armed battalion during the Civil War. And still, Harriet's producers chose to portray her in a beautifully human way. She doesn't deliver pithy, vengeful one-liners even when she confronts her former slave keeper. She's not some heroine who's unusually strong or powerful or clever. She simply had the courage to obey God, a God who sometimes confused her. Tubman's story reminds us that self-sacrifice, even if impractical, has great value. Every single return trip she made to the South was, in any practical sense, a terrible idea. She was likely to fail. But thank God that after tasting freedom in Philadelphia, she didn't count her own comfort as something to be grasped. She had suffered so greatly, her freedom, once she found it, had to be shared. Now, some critics have noted with disdain the movie's lack of violence. That only makes me wonder how much violence we actually want. Make no mistake, there's plenty of violence in the film, at a level that could be too much for preteens. On the other hand, given the nature of the subject, the filmmakers could have gone a lot further. I'm glad that they didn't. I took two of my daughters to see the film, the youngest of which is 12. She's a mature 12, and I'd say this was as intense of a movie as she's ever seen. The movie's rated PG-13 for three instances of profanity and for many racial epithets, which is to be expected in a movie that deals with slavery. Still, I was grateful for an opportunity like this to confront the sins of our nation's past with my daughters, while also being reminded that God is still at work in the darkest of times through real people. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, the weekend is here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We've got some very cold air in place for the time of year, but there will be some weekend moderation. However, an even colder air mass is lurking, and it will arrive early next week, accompanied by potentially plowable snow. Again, that'll be later Monday, Tuesday. But in the meantime, for this afternoon, we'll find clouds, mixed sunshine, and a few lake flurries around. High temperatures, mostly in the lower mid-30s. Tonight, we'll clear out for many, but there'll be a few lake flurries to the east of the lakes. Low temps, teens and low 20s. For tomorrow and Friday, mixed sun and clouds in eastern Pennsylvania. Cloudier elsewhere with a snow flurry tomorrow and a rain shower Sunday. High temperatures, 30s to near 40 tomorrow and in the 40s on Sunday.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Well, election 2019 is in the books, guys. We want your insights and analysis. Jason, we'll begin with you. You know, it's still an off-year election, but a lot of people talking about what the vote from sea to shining sea says about 2020, if anything at all. What are your thoughts as far as how the vote went down in New York State Tuesday night?
Well, I think it was a little mixed bag. You know, on one hand, it was encouraging for Republicans that they didn't lose as bad as they had in other elections. So perhaps the blue tsunami is subsiding here in New York. And frankly, Republicans, conservatives, like-minded candidates picked up a number of seats in townships across the state. So that was encouraging. But some of the bigger posts, for example, the Erie County executive, or even out in Long Island, one of the county execs out there, definitely went to the Democrats. And so there's a problem for the Republicans in the suburbs on the horizon they're going to need to pay attention to in 2020.
Yeah, I want to ask you about registration rolls in a minute, Jason. So hang on, but let's head to Harrisburg. Michael, there seem to be some problems in a couple of counties with the voting machines. Of course, this is the first year that they're using these new machines as ordered by the governor. Your thoughts on how the vote went down in your state on Tuesday?
Well, first, with the voting machines, you know, it does raise concerns and questions among the public related to can they trust the system, even with the shift of new machines that have paper backups. Some of those counties, like York County, the paper was cut to the wrong size, so they were jamming in machines, and that immediately gets on social media and causes people to question, is this a fair election, and are people messing with us in the government? But beyond that, looking at what happened in Pennsylvania, I think the big issue is outside money coming in that really made a big difference in the Philadelphia area, especially significant sums from people like George Soros and Planned Parenthood spending on local elections like the DA race in Delaware County. That whole county flipped to Democrat control, the county council in Delaware County becoming Democrat controlled for the first time in the Civil War. But in western Pennsylvania, the other direction, with Republicans taking control in some counties where they have not had it before, like Westmoreland and Washington counties.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of outside money in the months to come, Michael, so get ready. Pennsylvania's so pivotal for 2020. Jason, you talked about maybe New York is not as Smurf blue as it used to be. I don't know what a shade lower than that is, but the new voter registration rolls showed that there are fewer Republicans and more Democrats in the state than there were in 2016. What's responsible for that?
Well, there's a couple of things that are happening. One, you definitely see people leaving the state, and likely those are people that are paying the taxes here. Those are people that are conservative-leaning people that are moving out of state. And as far as the new enrollment, who's coming in? Well, in a lot of places in the state, if you want to be involved politically, you're going to register as a Democrat. I mean, you look at New York City, you look at some of the urban areas. It's difficult to register as a Republican knowing that you're going to be out in the political wasteland for a season. So I think out of default positions, many people are registering as Democrat in this state.
I was moved, Michael, by the testimony of a representative this week who put forth a bill out of personal experience, losing a child to a miscarriage 40 years ago. And it brought tears to my eyes hearing him explain why he is pushing for this. Planned Parenthood is pushing back, and for the life of me, I cannot understand why they would oppose fetal remain legislation, strictly voluntary for parents who lose a baby to miscarriage. What are your thoughts?
Well, the representative you speak of is Representative Frank Ryan, Colonel Frank Ryan, serving the United States Marine Corps. He's a wonderful Christian gentleman who is strongly pro-life, and his legislation basically would require healthcare facilities to dispose of the remains from miscarriages or abortions humanely through either cremation or burial, and then offer to parents the options for burial or cremation or to donate to medical science if they so choose. But I think Planned Parenthood's opposition to this ultimately centers around the fact that this bill highlights the humanity of the unborn child, whether loss of life because of a miscarriage or because of an abortion. The fact is that is a human being that whose life has ended and deserves respect. It's not the same as hazardous waste or medical waste. It is a human being that deserves to be treated even after death with respect.
Mm. These drag queen story times are all over the country, and it's hitting home in the southern tier of New York next week. Jason, there will be a reading of the book Frozen by drag queens at the Steele Library in Elmira. Had a chance to talk to the library this week. They said, hey, if you don't like it, don't come. Some would argue this is brainwashing at best and child abuse at worst. What can Christians do to stop these sorts of events from happening in their communities?
Well, the bottom line is it's going to be a long-term solution, but people have got to get more involved in their local governments, including their library associations. One of the reasons why we're seeing these types of things happening in libraries is because there are very many liberally leaning people that are involved in those organizations, and these have a local government structure that have oversight of the libraries. And so people need to get involved in their local government, including the libraries, to go ahead and make a difference on these issues.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next week with that. Michael, Brian Sims' gay conversion therapy bill was announced earlier this month. It might have been even in October. Is that gaining any traction? And I know you would fear a big fallout if it were ever to pass. Does it have any chance in Pennsylvania?
What's unlikely, given the current makeup of the legislature, as well as the reputation of Brian Sims, who accosted those pro-life sidewalk counselors outside the Planned Parenthood abortion clinic earlier this year, famously accosting them. So his legislation, generally speaking, whatever it is not likely to get much traction in the legislature. The big challenge we face right now in Pennsylvania is that local communities are enacting or considering such ordinances, like Allegheny County in the Pittsburgh area is considering just such a bill. And that's the challenge. And it goes to what Jason just said, which is people of good values and of faith need to get involved in local government, because that oftentimes is where the real battle is.
Yeah, man, we've highlighted what's wrong with the culture. I always like to spotlight those wins wherever we can get them. Jason, New Hope Family Services got a temporary win. I know you'll take it in federal court. What's going on here?
Yeah, as listeners may remember, we've been praying and watching what's happening with New Hope Family Services, who essentially the state has said they'd have to close their doors if they would not allow adoption services and place kids with same-sex households. Well, thankfully now, a court here in New York, an appeals court, has weighed in and said that for now, New Hope can continue to keep serving families and those kids that are looking for forever homes. Now, this doesn't mean they can take on new cases. This will allow them to go forward as they presently are, but the strong indicator is that if the appeals court is allowing this to move forward, the appeals court believes that ultimately they will win on the merits of the case and will have religious liberty restored for New Hope Family Services.
All right, and Michael, we'll end with you. I know it's a ways off, but this is a big event that we want folks who listen to this program and support your guys' organizations to put on their calendar and make a point of attending this pro-life rally next spring at the state capitol. Want to know why you decided to do this now. What's the impetus behind this?
Well, it's May 18th, 2020 at the Pennsylvania State Capitol. It's the first ever Pennsylvania March for Life. We've teamed with the National March for Life in sponsoring this event, and we're hoping many thousands of people will turn out, and that's to make a pro-life statement. Pennsylvania has historically been a pro-life state, but what we're seeing to our neighbors to the north in New York, and even now what's potentially going to happen in Virginia with the Democrats taking control, pro-abortion Democrats taking control in that state, we don't want to have that happen here, and we need citizens, pro-life citizens, to make a stand, to let the legislature and our governor know and the state know that we are a pro-life state and we want it to stay that way.
All right, and that'll have to be the last word this week, but there are so many issues we didn't get a chance to discuss this week. If you want, head to the website. Michael, where can folks check you out?
PAFamily.org.
And in New York State, Jason?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
Just get- get it done. Great show as always. Capital Connection crew, they come your way every Friday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We've got some very cold air in place for the time of year, but there will be some weekend moderation. However, an even colder air mass is lurking, and it will arrive early next week, accompanied by potentially plowable snow. Again, that'll be later Monday, Tuesday. But in the meantime, for this afternoon, we'll find clouds, mixed sunshine, and a few lake flurries around. High temperatures, mostly in the lower mid-30s. Tonight, we'll clear out for many, but there'll be a few lake flurries to the east of the lakes. Low temps, teens and low 20s. For tomorrow and Friday, mixed sun and clouds in eastern Pennsylvania. Cloudier elsewhere with a snow flurry tomorrow and a rain shower Sunday. High temperatures, 30s to near 40 tomorrow and in the 40s on Sunday.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Have yourself a great weekend. Finally, this Friday, America's least favorite Thanksgiving food is...
Cranberry sauce is America's least favorite Thanksgiving food. That's according to a new Harris Poll survey that seems to indicate there are a number of foods people don't like, but they eat for the sake of tradition. Coming in at number two of disliked foods, green bean casserole, followed by sweet potatoes. The secret food hate may be why a quarter of Americans also say they have no interest in Thanksgiving leftovers.
Leftovers are the best part. Thank you, Phil. Phil Hewlett reporting. That is the world we live in. This Friday, as always, thanks for coming along. Have yourself a great weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.